Okay, well, I need to push on a little bit, so let me just say just a couple things about letters, and then we'll take a break. I left letters for last because they're kind of the most familiar territory for us, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with them. I'm assuming that they're more comfortable for us. Let me just say a couple things about letters. So this is primarily the Pauline epistles and the general epistles as well, but especially with Paul's letters. It might be obvious to say, but sometimes we're quick to forget that these letters are pastoral letters written to real churches that had real people that Paul knows by name and real problems. That would be an obvious thing to say, but sometimes we sort of forget that and we pick up one of Paul's letters and we assume it's kind of like Paul's theological tome for the ends of the ages. Like this is the sum total of Paul's theology, or something like that. Paul's not sitting down trying to write a textbook. He's not sitting down trying to write a sort of theological tract. He's writing letters to churches. And he's responding to specific situations in those churches that call for a certain pastoral response. Sometimes we know exactly what those situations were. So the letter to the Corinthians, for instance, 1 Corinthians... We know that Paul writes in response to two things. He says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, I've heard some things from people from Chloe's household about what's going on there. Then he proceeds to say, there's some divisions among you. Some of you are saying you follow Apollos, and some of you follow Paul, and some of you follow Peter, and some of you are of Christ. So there's divisions among you. I've heard this from Chloe's people. So he's heard something about the church there, and he's writing in response to that. He's going to challenge the divisions in the church that are generated by arrogance and pride with the gospel. Here's how the gospel of a crucified God on the cross addresses this particular problem in this church. Okay, so it's called forth by a specific situation there in the church, and he's responding to that. He's responding to issues of division. There's other issues that he's heard about from Chloe or from a letter that the Corinthians had written to him, and he responds to those issues, addressing them kind of in turn. He talks about immorality in the church. Some of them are taking each other to court. Some of them have questions about marriage. There's a problem to do with whether or not you should eat food sacrificed to idols, questions about the resurrection. So he's addressing specific questions and specific problems in those churches. So it's just helpful to recall, just to bear that in mind when you're reading Paul's letters, that he's not trying to write a theological exhaustive treatise on a topic or a subject. He's bringing the gospel to bear on a particular particular situation. And sometimes we'll get a kind of a clue to the kind of main purpose or point that Paul has in writing his letter. Usually will come in the introduction. So he will say something in the way he greets a church. It gives us a bit of a hint as to what the issue there is. So pay close attention to the beginning of Paul's letters. It's often there's a clue there as to what he's trying to do in general, what the main issue is, or what his purpose or his aim is in writing. He's got particular things he wants to communicate for particular people for a particular purpose. The other thing to keep in mind with Paul's letters and the general epistles in general is that, again, this is an obvious thing to say, but it bears repeating, they're letters. So what do you do with a letter you get from somebody, from a friend or your mom or your brother? You read it, all of it, right? Now, because for various reasons, we actually very rarely do that. There's good reasons for that, because there's a lot to pull out of one verse or one paragraph or whatever. But you need to remember that there's like a development of thought and theme and emphasis that is running through the letter. So good pastors and teachers will pay attention to that, and when they're preaching through a letter, will know the kind of basic aims the author, Paul, has in writing this letter, and be reminding you as they go through a sermon series, this is the main thing here. Let's not lose the sort of main thrusts and get lost in bunny trails that are suggested by one random word here or random phrase here. You got to keep in context the main points, and they all contribute to a large sort of main purpose that the letter has. I'll pick this up again after the break, but this is really crucial principle for interpreting the Bible well and wisely, is that context is really important. You can't just take a verse or a line out of context and just use it in a random way. Paul meant this verse to be understood in a particular way for a particular purpose in the context of this letter. So it really repays rich dividends to read the letter as a whole, get a sense for what's the main thing that it's trying to say here, and then how does each individual paragraph participate in those larger aims, those larger concerns. So good to ask yourself those questions. What's the main point of this paragraph? And how does this paragraph contributing to the main point or points of the book as a whole? And to not get yourself pulled along on bunny trails that Paul never intended. Okay? Any comments or questions about that? That's a bit more straightforward, and we're more comfortable with Paul. So maybe we can feel justified in only taking like 2 minutes for the great apostle, because we spend a disproportionate amount of time with him most of the year. And most of in a lot of churches, it's more sort of comfortable preaching through Paul than, say, through the book of Nahum, for instance. That's kind of one of the reasons I'm sort of excited about the privilege to do something like this, is it's a unique opportunity to help us with the bits of Scripture that we really don't do much with, and so it's quite strange and foreign to us. Is that okay? So why don't we take a 15-minute break? We can reconvene in 15 minutes, and then we'll think about what difference does all this make for us, which is the real payoff, I suppose.